Okay, this week's parsha is Tazria Mitzora, and we're actually now about to begin a series of double parshios. This year was not a leap year, so we have Tazria Mitzora this week, and then next week is Achrimos Kedoshim. We get a 1 week reprieve where there's a parshios Emor, and then once again double parsha Bahar B'chukosai, and then we're going to double up again in July. With at least in Chutz La'aretz, two times we're going to have double parshios with Chukas Balak and then Matos Maaseh. So five double parshas in the next couple of months. Then the following year is a leap year, so there won't be as many. But in any event, this week is Tazria Mitzora, and of course the major topic, although not the only topic, but it is the major topic, is that of Tzaraath, of a biblical leprosy. Which, of course, was not a physical ailment, but rather our rabbis understand a spiritual ailment. If you received this leprosy, you didn't go to a doctor, but rather you went to the Kohen. The Kohen had to diagnose it. And we're familiar with the fact that the tzaras was a punishment, most famously for Lashon Hara, although not exclusively Lashon Hara. The Gemara in Erechin gives another six possibilities what it could come from, including gava, including arrogance. And also being stingy, as well as several others. What I want to focus on this evening is actually the beginning of the second parsha of Mitzora, where it talks about the purification process of the Mitzora. Now the person has tzaras, it's confirmed. The person was sent outside the camp, outside the city. So what would be the purification process? So the parsha begins, again, this is the second parsha of Mitzora. This is in a perek Yud Daled. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe le'mor, zos tia toras ha-mitzora, v'yom taraso. This is the law of the mitzora on the day of the purification. V'uval ha-kohen. So once again, the person would have to the kohen would have to take a look and to see what the status was. V'yatsa kohen mechutz l'machaneh. The kohen would have to leave the camp. Again, the person could not enter the camp until they were declared pure. So the kohen would have to be the one to leave the camp to then examine the individual. If in fact the Kohen has determined that the tzaras is no longer there, so it's not now automatically, okay, now welcome back, but there's now going to be a whole purification process. And I want to focus on one particular aspect of it. So we're told, toros. So the person who has the tzaras, and now it's been determined that the tzaras has dissipated, the person has to take two birds, two tziparim, two birds that are tahor, that are pure, kosher birds, ve'etz erez ushni tolas ve'ezov, and a cedar wood, and a crimson, and hyssop. V'tzivak, then once the person gets those items together, the Kohen commands, v'shacharet tzipor achas, one of the birds then has to be slaughtered, el kli cheres amayim chayim. And above an earthenware vessel that was water in the vessel, spring water, and now that and after that first animal is slaughtered over that earthenware vessel containing the water, then the second bird, the one that's still alive, yikachosa, shall be taken. That's eitz ha'erez v'shnia tolas v'aseizov, and the bird, you have to be careful carrying all these things together. Along with the live bird, you also take in your hand the wood and the crimson and the hyssop, and all four of these items together, including this live bird, tavalasam besatzipor chaya badama tzipor. You now dip them, including the live bird, into the water that now is the blood that contained the blood would drip into the water of the one that was shechted. You submerge, you give a quick dip to all four of the items, again, including the live bird, Alamayim Chayim. And then what do you do next? And then you sprinkle, now you got the blood and the water mixed together with these four things. With these four things, you sprinkle this concoction onto the person who had the tzaras seven times, the tiaro. And now, then the person would be purified. And then, once you were finished, you then sent the live bird. You sent it away. And then the person have to wash their clothing. They'd have to shave all their hair. They'd have to go into the mikvah, and only afterwards. But then it seems like then there's like another 7 days. Like you have to wait another 7 days, and on the seventh day again you would shave, and it'd be a whole additional process of it, and then additional sacrifices that then would have to be brought. So a lengthy purification process. There's a lot here to discuss. I just want to focus this evening just on one aspect, and that's the aspect of the birds. That before Shmuel points out, this is a little unusual. Because when it comes to other people that are impure, like a zav, a nida, you don't have this process of taking these. You have korbanos, but you don't have this process of taking these birds. Again, the birds were not offered as a sacrifice, and one bird was just had to slaughter it so that you're going to drip the blood into the water, and then with the live bird and those other three items, you spritzed it on the person. So they weren't brought on the mizbeach as a korban. That's a week later, a korban had to be brought, and the korban was an animal. If the person didn't have enough money, then they would bring like a meal offering. Then they could also bring a bird as a sacrifice. This initial stage, again, which is unusual, you don't see it in any other situation of someone who was a tummy having to do this. You had to do this procedure with these two birds. So Rashi on the spot quotes the Gemara in Erechin that's bothered by this, that notices this is quite unusual, and wonders why this has to occur, why this takes place. And the Gemara says the following. So this is the Gemara on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis 16b in Erechin. It's contained within the lengthy Gemara there that talks all about Lashon Hara and Saras. Very lengthy Gemara, several pages that discuss this whole issue. So first of all, the first thing Gemara says, this is a quick aside, it's interesting. Gemara is wondering, why is this person sent all the way outside the camp, which is also unusual. Often people that were Tamei were not sent all the way outside the camp. Either you couldn't be in the Beis HaMikdash, or you had to leave the confines of the Machane Levia, the area of the Azara, but you could still be within the city of Yerushalayim. But here you're totally sent out in the desert, out of the camp, and if you're in Yerushalayim, totally outside of the city of Yerushalayim. Why does that happen? Manishtana, by coming off the hills of Pesach, not the only time we ask Manishtana to say tonight. The Gemara often sometimes will ask Manishtana. So what's so different? Manishtana mitzora she'amar Torah ba'dad yeshe mechutz l'machaneh moshavo. When it comes to the Torah, the person with Saras, the Torah says that individual should be sent totally outside the camp, as opposed to other people that are Tomei that don't aren't given such a drastic measure. It's not there's you find this in Navi. There's a story in Sefer Melachim, Melachim Bet, with these four mitzorim, these four people that have saras, and they're outside the camp, and there's a whole story there where they give themselves up to the camp of Aram, and they find out that God's made a miracle. It's during a time of famine, and the soldiers of Aram who had been besieging the town are all fled, and they share the news with the rest of the people, but they're outside the camp because they have saras. And you have saras, you're totally kicked out of the city. Again, you don't find that with other people that have tamei. So, answers the Gemara: why is the mitzora different? Who have deal ben ish lishto ben ish l'reyo v'picha chamer Torah b'dad yishev? Because this person spoke lashon hara, right? This person spoke gossip, and when you speak gossip, you cause division. You cause people to not like one another, to separate from each other, to distance themselves from one another, because everyone now thinks bad about someone else. Within the confines of a marriage, you tell one spouse about the other spouse, you tell whatever it is. And so because you, through your words, you cause people to be distant from each other, so you now need to be distant from everyone else. That's your punishment. It's like a mida k'neged mida, a measure for measure. Okay. Then right after that, the Gemara asks the next question, our question, about another thing that's so unusual about the Petzorah. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Manishtana Mitzora Sha'amra Torah Yavi Shtei Tziparim L'Taroso. Why, when it comes to the purification process of the Metzora, like other people who are impure, all of a sudden the Metzora has to bring these two birds. Again, they're not being brought as sacrifices. One is slaughtered, you dip the blood in the spring water, and then you spritz it with the live bird. The other items, you spritz it 7 times on the Metzora. Why is this? Why specifically by the Metzora? So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says God, Hu osa maisa patit. Amr Torah Yavi Korban Patit. That the person did a Maisa Patit. What's a Maisa Patit? So Maisa Patit is what's happening right now, this time of year in Southfield, Michigan, when you go outside. Maybe I'm sure lots of other places in the world right now. And what do you do when you go outside and you walk suddenly in the morning and at dusk? You hear all the birds chirping. Chirp, 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 chirp. They're constantly chirping. And my wife and I took a walk last night and like all year, they're all like in our. They're all like, I don't know what they're talking about, but they're all excited. And I don't know, maybe they're excited about the worms or something. I don't know what they're excited about, but the spring's here and they're all excited. They're talking, talking, talking. So it sounds nice, but says the God, says the Torah, that this person acted like the birds. Because this person was did a Maisa Patit. The Maisa Patit is chattering, talking too much. Right? This person spoke Lashon Hara. This person was gossiping. So therefore, the fichach amar Torah yavi korban patit. Let this person bring a sacrifice, or bring an offering, or bring it to a procedure that involves animals that chatter too. In other words, it's again a mita kenegan mita, a measure for measure. It's a lesson to this person as this person is beginning the process of purification to remind them why they were punished to begin with, why they received this tzaras, because they were talking too much, right? They, if you don't have nothing else to say, don't say it, right? For that many times. So this person had lots of not nice things to say. Person spoke slander, gossip about someone else, about other people, and therefore received this punishment. The birds are a reminder of that. That's what the Gemara says. So I'd just like to just explore this just a drop more. It's interesting again that there's this deep symbolism. But the question now is, okay, but now why do you have two birds? Why do you have two birds? And why this one is killed and one is, dipped in blood and one's sent away? So is there anything else? So I saw the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar says the following in his commentary here in the beginning of Metzora. Again, he points out, or he suggests in Parshas, he says, I suggested in Parshas Tazria that although the Gemara says there's 7 reasons why a person receives tzaras, he thinks you really get tzaras for three of them. And he says all three are hinted to here at the beginning of this Parsha of Metzora, and they are Lashon Hara, again, gossiping, Gasa Saruach, arrogance, Bechemdas HaMamon, which is desiring money, someone who's very stingy and someone who's constantly seeking out money and is not helping out other people. Lomar, and now it makes sense, Shatzi Parim, that the birds mechaper, that the birds atone for all three. Al Lashon Hara, the birds atone for the Lashon Hara. Shosu Maisa Patik, because the person was chattering, speaking Lashon Hara. Va'al gasos haruach ha'olim l'mala kitziparim ha'ofos. Also, the birds symbolize the arrogance. How do birds symbolize arrogance? Because birds fly high up into the sky. So this person thought that he or she was so haughty. They thought they were so high. They were so wonderful. So the birds are an allusion to that. Again, so again, the chattering of the birds is the Lashon Hara. The flying high up is the arrogance. And finally, what about the desiring the money and being stingy? So he says, "Citing a pasuk in Mishlei, where the pasuk says the following. This is a pasuk that's found in Perek Gimel. And it says, Perech of Gimel, Pasuk K. Hataif yaseloh, which means you cast your eyes upon wealth and it is gone. for it makes wings for itself, like an eagle that flies toward heaven. You're so stingy and you're so much into collecting your money. Well, guess what, says Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei. Money is like a bird. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Like, you're wasting your time. All right, it's like a very Kohelis type of thing that, you know, you're all the time you're trying to amass wealth and money, and then, like, and then it's here. So, like, what are you doing? Is that the purpose of life? And so the birds symbolize that that fault as well, that perhaps can also bring about the tzaras. Therefore, again, the birds specifically are a message to the mitzora. It's not necessarily a specific thing in the tara, because again, for someone who's tame, because it's not done for other people that are impure, like the zav, the zava, and the nida. It's specifically done for the mitzora, for these three lessons about the chattering, the haughtiness being high up, and the going away, like the money here today, gone to tomorrow. So that, again, that's the kli yakar. The marsha, in his commentary back to that gemara in Erechin, says a little more. And again, the question is, why two birds? You can do this with one bird. Why specifically two birds? So again, this is the Marsha is found in the back of the Gemara. So he's at the end of this Gemara. And Erechin, you find his commentary. So he says the following. First, he quotes the Gemara. One second. Here. Sipor Echa, the first bird, the bird Hashkuta, the bird that is shechted, that is killed, Lirmos al Pitput Lashon Hara, Sheyibalu, that the first bird that is killed tells this person to put an end to it, to tell him, like, no more, that no more Lashon Hara. All right, this is what got you into trouble. God detests this. God abhors this, that you're punished for this. It should be killed. You know, like the birds being killed, you put an end to this. But then the question is, like, this is like the famous question. So I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara, so what am I going to talk about? Right? What's there to say? I don't know if this is true or not, but everyone says, like, that you they ask this question about the Chafetz Chaim, like Yisrael Meir Kagan. That he wrote the book about Lashon Hara. He lived at the end of the 19th, beginning of the 20th century in Poland, in Radin, and he wrote the book about all the rules against Lashon Hara. So people always said, like, well, like, what can you talk about? And so people say that apparently he was very talkative. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but and so he said good stuff, right? He's a lot of nice things that you can say. Just stay away from Lashon Hara. So that's what the Marsha says here. The echa lishluach, the second bird is sent away. The Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu leficha yavi korban pitot. Second, why? Because mavis achayim biyad lashon, pasuk in Mishlei, that death and life are in the hand of the tongue. Debay chayi belishne, debay mayis belishne, because with your tongue you can do one or two things, right? They say This is true. What's the strongest organ in the body? It's the tongue, right? And why is it? And not only is it strong physically, but it's strong in terms of the impact that it can bring about death, right? They say, well, it's a nice way of saying this. One of the phrases that makes the least sense, that actually is actually just the opposite, right? It's the phrase, like, sticks and stones can make my can break my bones, but names can never hurt me, which is absolutely incorrect. Names can be much worse than sticks and stones. Sticks and stones, you can heal. Go to the doctor, go to the ER, to Dr. Kalman, and then get healed. But, or thank God, loose lips sink ships. But words can, you know, people can, you know, with bullying, and it can lead to horrible commit suicide. I mean, terrible things with what words can do, and so words have the power to destroy, but words also have the power to uplift, to fix, and to correct, and to heal, and that's the birds, right? The bird, it can be it talking, and talking a lot can be a bad thing, but also can be a good thing. So first, the person takes the first bird and shucks it and slaughters it. to say that type of speaking I want to get rid of, destroyed. But then you take the live bird, right, and you dip it in the blood. And I saw someone say this. The Gemara actually Maseches Sota, I'm going through Maseches Sota right now, discusses this on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says that there are three things that need to be visible with water. One is that when the dust of the sota, that the dust had to be somewhat visible within the water. Afer para, the ashes of the paraduma, was also mixed in water, had to be a little bit visible. And then the Gemara says the roke yavama, the spit of the yavama who would spit on the shoe, you actually had to see the spit on the shoe. And the Rishmo says af dam tzipor, even this blood. In other words, when the blood would drip in the water, it had to be enough blood, which is not a lot, that the water would turn red. You needed to see the blood. And so I saw some suggest, because then you spritz the blood on the person needs to have that reminder about, again, the impact of what they did. It has to be like, it can't just be this few week purification process. And now I go back to regular business, but I need to remember what happened. That sort of has to remain on my body, that blemish on some level. But then the live bird, here's what the Marsha is saying, is then you send it away. Because now you're symbolizing is that I want it to live, and that there is a way to speak and to bring life through my words, and to create healing and to uplift and to encourage through words, and to celebrate life through words. And therefore, I specifically want to cause that one bird to continue to be alive. I just want to conclude with one final thought that I was thinking about, and that is, so if this approach is correct, again, it's unusual. As I started with, you have this purification process with someone who's tamei that has these birds that, again, not being brought as a sacrifice, but again, specifically to the Metzorah, and we're now suggesting. And it's specifically because the birds are going to highlight, reflect chattering. And we now sing for the Marsha that some chattering is really bad. That's why we killed the first bird. But also talking is also can be healing. And that's the tough type of talk we're trying to encourage the person now to engage in. So I was just thinking, birds are not uncommon in the Torah. They imply in many different contexts. Birds appear obviously right at the time of creation. We have birds. We speak about the birds being created. But then I'm missing some other stories. But I think one of the most famous stories in the Torah with birds is also pretty early on in the Torah, and that's of course with Noah and the flood. And there you have two birds as well, right? There's the raven and the arev and the yonah and the dove. And there you have two birds also that are doing two very different things. You have one bird that, and the Medrash is very critical of the Orev. The Orev is like, was questioning Noah that, Noah, why are you sending me out? There's only one of my species. Or, if I'm gone, my species is dead. And the Medrash goes as far as to say that the Orev suspected Noah of wanting to marry and be with his, his partner. And like the Orev is like no good, right? And the Orev goes out, comes back, doesn't bring back any good news. And it's the Yonah, it's the dove that comes back with the positive message, with the olive branch and the hope towards the future. So again, you see this dichotomy and you see this symbolism of one bird being the negative aspect, another bird a positive aspect. So that alone could be somewhat similar, that type of imagery. But just going a step further, and that is, and Chazal also pick up on this. That the orev, the bird in the Noah story is bad, right? We don't look too kindly upon the orev. It doesn't seem like to do its mission, and even perhaps has all these negative thoughts about Noah. But an orev does reappear later in Tanakh and in a more positive context, and that's with Eliyahu Hanavi. And again, the Gemara picks up on this. And the Gemara actually says that the orev was sort of set aside, that he didn't do his mission at the time of the flood, but will complete his mission in the time of Eliyahu HaNavi, that there too, there's this issue with water. At the time of Eliyahu, there's a lack of water, there's a famine, and it's the orev that's going to bring the food, the water to Eliyahu HaNavi, to nourish and to sustain him. And what's interesting is that you see a reversal of the role of the orev, that initially it's in this very negative context, But much, much later on in history with Eliyahu Navi, it has redeemed itself. And now it's being helpful. It's actually creating life at that moment. In the Noah story, it's not telling us anything about a future. It sees no future. But in the Eliyahu story, it's very much all about a hope towards a better future. And perhaps, again, you see that now with these two birds of the Mitzora, that the first bird that's killed is the bird we want to get rid of. It's the attribute of the chattering, of the gossiping, of the lashon hara, that we want to tell this person that you need to move on from that. But then we want to take a second bird. Again, we spritz the blood of the dead bird on the person to sort of as that reminder. Don't forget, where you once were. But now let's let that this new bird fly away, and symbolizing to you that you can now fly, you can now take off, and you can transform yourself. And you now we don't want you to stop talking. We want you to continue talking, but to talk in a way that's going to be healing, going to be uplifting, and that's going to be inspiring to other people. Okay, I wish everyone a very beautiful Shabbos.